from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I really love it.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You know, that always hurts me.
That's one of my favorites.
Dick Vermeil in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
And we treated him like that.
No.
We treated him like that. We hung up on him.
No. We didn't hang up on him. Dick Vermeil hung up on us.
It was wrong.
Which is what Hall of Famers are allowed to do.
This guy is right. Such a D.
All right.
That's a low blow.
Well,
I was going to ask if you think he remembered.
Probably not. He probably didn't remember. But I can't see it! All right, so let me tell you what's a joke.
Elaborate.
I didn't think I was going to. So I go online and I'm just curious, you know, watching a little of the Little League World Series and watching some games yesterday. And I'm like, boy, guys look a little old.
Yes.
So I go online.
Be careful.
First of all, I said, hey, how old are these kids supposed to be? And the kids in the Little League World Series are supposed to be 10 to 12.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Some of these kids are older.
Now, why would you say that?
Who has facial hair at 11? Come on.
Or 12.
Got some guys on some teams there with full-on mustaches.
What Steiny is saying to the audience is that because you do have an affinity for law enforcement, you're the puberty police.
Well, here's the thing I'm also thinking is, so these guys get attention and they get reward. Some of them are nice players, don't get me wrong. But really what we're celebrating, or really what we're watching, are the kids who had their growth spurt early.
That's
essentially who we're watching.
Oh,
and listen, and here's the one thing that I've realized in my time as a human being. You know all those kids who in sixth grade are 6'1" with hair under their armpits already?
Yeah, I wish I was one of those kids.
Yeah. Everybody catches up to him.
Well, I'm 5'10".
So we're watching a Little League World Series, and really, we're just watching the kids who, you know, got through adolescence more quickly than others. How many guys?
Well, first of all, they're boys.
How many of these guys? No, here's the question. How many players, and I'll bet you nobody knows the answer because it's not very many. How many major league players played in the Little League World Series?
More than you think. No. They bring them up every year.
No chance. No. Nope.
Not all of these kids are Danny Almonte, who was only 14, by the way.
Yeah.
But he threw like 100.
All I'm saying is, show me your ID.
Well, they don't have
that's
it.
That's the other problem.
You're going to need to see the birth certificate every single time a dude gets to the mound. This ain't the bench warmers. By the way, 64 former and current Major League Baseball players have played in the Little League World Series.
Right. Former and current. That's
good
not
for
very
you.
Many. That's not very many.
What do you mean? That's a lot of kids.
Because the other kids caught up to him.
You didn't like playing against older kids in the playground? Made you better. It sounds to me like you don't like competition.
No, I just know what happens to these kids. These kids think that they are special, and some of them may be, but the reality is they just grew faster. And in time, it'll all be evened out, and they'll just be regular guys like all of us.
Michael Conforto played in the Little League World Series. case in point.
And Uncle Looney's right here on the YouTube chat. Danny Almonte drove to the ballpark. That should have been a red flag.
Well, by the way, you know who just runs the gambit? And they don't have facial hair, but what I really have an issue with is that I swear to God, and I don't follow this thing religiously, but every single year on the international side,
okay,
Chinese Taipei is always in the finals. Something's in the water over there, and they're not 5'10". They're not throwing 70 miles an hour from 45 feet, but for whatever reason, Chinese Taipei has a monopoly on the Little League World Series, and that is unfair.
No, the reason is because their coaching is far superior to any other country's coaching. They teach the game the right way. Go the other way.
This is Steve Kerr.
Take the extra base.
Thank you, Steve.
Do all the things right.
Get off the kids.
Sounds like Steiny was a dweeb. Yeah, I was a late bloomer. What's your point?
Were you like me? I was 5 feet as a freshman in high school.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason I had to play baseball.
Oh, there was payback. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I hit my growth spurt in about 10th grade, between 10th and 11th. And, oh, there was payback, Evan. There was payback once I got to be the same size as guys.
Well, no. It's the same thing. Like, we played against Pinole and Pony League, and I was like 10, 11 years old. They had a kid with a beard. I didn't know what his name was, but we just called him Beard Man because every time he was on the mound, nobody stood a chance. And when we got to high school, I don't know which one of the ones he was, because then they all had beards. We didn't. But we beat the crap out of Pinole Valley, so we took it out on them.
Pinole Valley have a good program?
No.
That's a relatively new high school, I believe. Oh, no, I'm thinking of... never mind.
You wanna...
Thinking of Deer Valley.
Deer Valley? Out of Antioch?
Stuff from Back to the Future?
What's the name of that school out there? It's a big school now, I think. It started in like 1995-ish?
Well, that's not very new.
Well, for me it is. That's very new.
You gotta Google it.
Isn't it Deer Valley?
It opened the year you got out here?
Isn't it Deer Valley? I got out here in 90.
Yeah.
I think, there's a Deer Valley in Antioch, isn't there?
Hill Valley with Back to the Future. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, there's no Hill Valley. I think I'm right.
Yeah, you got to Google it.
All right. If you're just joining us, Alvin Attles longtime Golden State Warrior as a player, a coach, won a title as the head coach of the Warriors in 75, was their GM, was associated with the Warriors for 64 years. He was a Warrior from 1960 until the day he passed, which was last night. And he was 87 years old, and Chris Mullen joined us early in the show and had some great things to say. And so we were passing that information along, and hopefully we'll get some other people on here today who knew Al. It was Doherty Valley or Doherty Valley.
Valley?
Yeah, that's the one I meant. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Deer Valley is also in Antioch, according to the Xfinity Mobile text line.
Oh. Even don't you get it, Evan?
What?
Don't you get it?
Well, you said it was new. You still could be wrong about this.
No.
And if you are,
don't
I will
you get
find
it?
Out.
Don't you get it? I'm like Tony Montana in that scene. Even when I lie, I tell the truth. I'm that guy. Even when I think I'm wrong, I'm right. It's incredible.
What was wrong was Pacino playing a Cuban guy.
What?
Come on, Pelican!
I'm sorry.
He's not Cuban, right?
That was one of the most iconic roles in cinema history.
Yeah, it was a farce.
What are you, crazy?
Spoiler alert, Robert Downey Jr. is also not black. I want you to know that.
Well, that was the whole bit. Montana wasn't a bit. By the way, Robert Downey Jr. could not do that in 2024.
Don't ever denigrate Scarface.
No, I'm not. I'm denigrating Pacino.
Dude, I don't know if you're kidding or not right now.
You're just denigrating 12-year-olds with mustaches.
Well, because they haven't done anything. Pacino's done things. Oh, by the way, I saw a great... Here's a surprise. I saw a great documentary last night on Faye Dunaway.
You know who Faye Dunaway? Oh, the one on Max, yeah.
I've been watching a show called Below Zero.
I need to get
it. It's about life in the bush. Faye Dunaway was one of the last American icons. I mean, wow. Bonnie and Clyde. Mommy Dearest. Oh, my goodness. Faye Dunaway. Anyway, check it out if you want to.
I'll put it in the queue.
Put it in the queue.
You got like a documentary recommendation for me every 48 hours.
It's about right.
I can't keep up.
Well,
I got sports to watch, Steiny.
Yeah, you and Goo, huh?
I'm in the lab.
Yeah, you're in the lab, all right. By the way, San Francisco 49ers, nothing's going on. And we're one day closer to the start of the season. But here's some good news. DeSean Jackson, who is a teammate of Trent Williams in Washington.
Also California Golden Bear.
A California Golden Bear.
Get to know it.
He was pretty fast.
Yes, he was.
But here's what he said about Trent Williams.
Probably still is.
Maybe this is something to latch on to at a time like this.
I don't think we need to panic so quietly. I just was on a phone call with my boy Trent. We call him the big boy, man. You know, he's the gorilla, man. He's working out. And when I say he working out, he in that gym, man. So, and you know what? A little insight. You know, I don't want to talk too much, but I'm going to give y'all a little something, man.
A little something.
They working on something, man. I think they're going to make it right for my boy to come in there, man. He might be showing up a little late. You know, he got some fines and some fees he might have to take care of. But he going to be there, man. So, you know, for the Niners fans, it's going to be all right. So, y'all take it easy. But he'll be there shortly.
We'll lock it up then.
Yeah, put in the cap.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson's telling us that Trent's he's going to be around soon.
Now, the only thing I'd quibble with is...
September 7th?
He's already going to be late. He isn't, like... He might be a little late. No, he's late. He's late, DeSean. He's already late. But there's some good news on Trent Williams.
Is anybody worried about Trent Williams? Seriously.
Worried how?
That's... Either he's not going to be there for week one, or when eventually he plays this year, he's not going to be very good. That this holdout is going to impact his season. Does anybody have the appropriate fear about Trent Williams the way that they have about Brandon Ayuk? And I appreciate we've gone 2 hours and 15 minutes without saying that.
It's a hell of a job. it's a hell of a job we've done. I think it's twofold. For me, as somebody who's somewhat skeptical, I have and I don't know anything. Go ahead and cut that. But
it's already been cut.
The one thing, you know me, I always question. I always like to ask questions, and for me, I understand why people are not worried about Trent Williams, but I just take the other side and say, well, what do you know? What do people know that make them believe that Trent couldn't be more further apart from the Niners than Brandon Ayuk? Because, I mean, I was just thinking about this. So forget the guaranteed money for a sec. If the numbers we're talking about for Trent, I'm sorry, for Brandon Ayuk are 26 or 28 or 29 or 25, that is a lot closer than Trent Williams, who's making 22, but he wants to get to 28 to once again become the highest paid lineman. Like, on the surface, it feels like he could be further apart from the Niners. And also, he does, I think, people are right about this, he's got more juice. And he's talked about retirement before. And I just, I'm not saying, like, I may be wrong, but I'm not predicting that Trent Williams and the 49ers won't come together. I just haven't seen or heard anything that leads me to believe, oh, well, Trent's a formality, and Ayuk will, Ayuk's not. Like, I haven't seen any tangible evidence of that.
I think it's because we haven't seen Trent. I think we haven't heard from Trent. We haven't heard from Trent's agent. We haven't heard from anybody outside of sources around the 49ers that Trent Williams is up to wherever he's at. You know, like, seriously, what do we know about him?
Right. Nothing. Now? Zero.
So the last time somebody asked about him, Kyle Shanahan said something along the lines of, well, I think he's in Houston. Like, seriously, that's the only update we've got on this guy. My point is that if we're looking at those two players that still have yet to be inked to deals, B.A. and Trent, I wonder why people are less worried about Williams, because he's older. He is
right.
More important than Brandon Ayuk is. And we know the least amount of information about him. For all I know, he could be injured right now. I mean, we know Christian McCaffrey's got, a strained calf.
Yep.
We know Ricky Pearsall's been dealing with shoulder injuries, with hamstring injuries. What if Trent Williams is injured?
I think the one reason that people are assuming that Trent Williams will be here is because we all know he hates training camp, and we all know he's done this before. So if he's done it before, I think that's the reason that it gives, fans a sense of he'll eventually join the team.
But he's also held out in season before.
I know. But now,
which Brandon Ayuk has never done.
True. Now, you could say he held out in Washington when things were a mess there, and that's a big reason why. And would he ever hold out on a team that's got legitimate Super Bowl aspirations?
And we don't know the answer to that question, but the situation also had to do with money.
Right.
This situation, as far as we know, has to do with money. And I haven't heard appropriate fear in relation to him as I've heard with the wide receiver. And it's been more public. It's been more perplexing right. with Ayuk. But that's only because we have tidbits. We have information, or the same information that keeps getting regurgitated in different forms. With Williams, there's no information. And I just find it funny that people are more concerned about what they don't know as opposed to what they think they know. Like, Trent would concern me because I saw an offensive line over the weekend that didn't look very good. I saw an offensive line that last year, quite frankly, didn't look great outside of him. So the fact that he's not here, and I'm just assuming he'll be on the roster when they make the cuts in 6 days. I'm assuming he's going to be here week one, and I'm assuming he's going to be an all-pro again. But
well, what I think is when it comes to Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk, there's to me two issues. One is if and when they get in here, and then issue number two is how they perform once they get in here. And I seem to hear a lot of concern about Ayuk missing training camp and then having to redevelop chemistry with Brock Purdy and redevelop chemistry with the offensive players. But I hear no such concern about Trent Williams when, to my way of thinking, he's 36 and he was hurt last year for 3 weeks. And I would be a little, I'm as a Niner fan and the type of season they have, I would be more concerned with Trent Williams than Brandon Ayuk. And the reason is because Trent Williams is 36, which is old for a football player, and Brandon Ayuk is entering his prime. So I think Brandon Ayuk is more likely to be impactful after not going through training camp than Trent Williams.
Yeah, but it's just, again, building up our last conversation about the quarterbacks, you know, right. I think a bigger reason why people, again, you know, wouldn't put Purdy in a certain category is because of someone like Trent Williams, who's an all-pro, and someone like Brandon Ayuk, who's an all-pro. Well, if those players don't play like all-pros this year, well, then there's going to be more pressure on the quarterback. I think that's another reason why Brock Purdy might statistically take a dip this year, because he might not have players that are fully in shape at the beginning of the season. You know, I think more, the way that I'm reading this offseason, in addition to, I don't know, maybe some of the skepticism that people have, is, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Purdy this year. And I think things are going to be more on an even playing field in regards to talent. You know, Purdy is not going to have as good of a team, I believe, as he did last year. And so he's going to have to do more. You know, and I don't know if people believe that he can elevate himself.
Why would you think the 49ers offense, just offense, might be worse this year than last year? Is it just because of Ayuk and Trent? Well, it's got to just be because of their holdouts, right?
Well, it's about them. It's also the fact that McCaffrey's at a certain age.
Okay.
McCaffrey's been a bit banged up this training camp, and that's flown under the radar because of the rest of the distractions. But compared to last offseason, like McCaffrey was 100%. He was full bore in the spring and in the summer. And he, along with Brandon Ayuk, I remember reading articles about how incredible shape they were in, about how they just turned heads in OTAs and in training camp, and they were ready to hit the ground running, which, by the way, they did. McCaffrey, they got a $150 and a touchdown week one. Brandon Ayuk caught 2 touchdowns against Pittsburgh week one last year. I'm not sure I foresee that start for someone like McCaffrey, who is as important in this offense as anybody else. So again, it's just an accumulation of all those things for me that has me looking at Brock Purdy and feeling like he's going to have to do more this year.
If I asked you what's your biggest concern about the Niners right now, I know what mine would be. What would yours be? Right now, what's your biggest concern with the 49ers?
Agendas.
You're surprising me. I was just...
Why, were you going to go with the position?
Yeah, I was going to go. Like, to me, Trent Williams is the biggest concern that I have for the Niners. And believe it or not, the second concern may be McCaffrey and his health. And Ayuk certainly in the top three, but Trent Williams is the one that worries me the most because I feel like we know the least about it, and we really don't have any idea what's going on with Trent Williams. You know what? We think we know, but we'll never really know.
And he could show up later today and all is well, right? Because we don't know.
You think he really is working out?
Trent?
Yeah.
Freaking better be.
Or
the Niners are going to get hurt by the fact that he's not in great shape.
Yeah, that's why I'm worried about him.
That's his job. Although I guess he's been fine $3 million, so maybe it's not his job right now.
Yeah. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, I got a question for you.
Lock in.
And when I say you, I mean 49er fans and our audience. When do you want to hear from the owner of your team? When do you want to hear your owner address the media? And the reason I thought about that, because of my good friend Daryl the Guru Johnson, who wants to hear from owners three times a day. That doesn't happen. But when do you want to hear from an owner? And I'll tell you, I think right about now would be a good time to hear from Jed York. And the reason I'm saying that is because I would love to ask Jed a simple question, and that is, what is your role in the Brandon Ayuk contract negotiations? It's as simple as that. Where is Jed York during this entire process, and where is he coming from with all this? Because I actually do believe that, would you agree with me that Jed York is the one person who could end all of this immediately?
Well, yeah, he's the owner of the team.
Then why isn't he?
He should have talked yesterday.
What was yesterday?
Well, yesterday was the first time we got a detail about something that needed to be ironed out with ownership approval. That was the Jordan Schultz report. Ownership approval. Okay, well, now the owner is being dragged into this because there's clearly something that's at his doorstep that needs to be ironed out. I don't know, whatever it is. Yeah, I want to hear from Jed York.
I don't necessarily believe that, though.
What, that it's up to him?
Yeah, that he's looking at something and he's deciding yes or no. I don't. That's the point. I have no idea what is going on. But I'm wondering if 49er fans right now think it would be a good idea or a bad idea for Jed York to, you know, jump on with the media or hold a press conference and say something about the situation. I do kind of think it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to update the fan base on where this team sits with those two players 16 days or 18 days from the opener with a team that's expected to make a Super Bowl run. Is it time, if you're a 49er fan, are you ready to hear Jed York say something about this situation? Because I think if he did talk, it would give an indication of how long this thing might go.
Well, what he needs to come out and say is, we're not talking about this anymore.
What would that do?
We are discussing and negotiating with Brandon Ayuk behind closed doors.
Right.
That's all you need to know. I think one of the reasons why this has dragged on so long and why people are worried or frustrated or just plain pissed off is because of all these, everything that comes out every single day. It's nauseating.
It is.
I mean, seriously, we were doing the crossover yesterday with Willard and Dibbs, and this report comes out about just a few more details need to be ironed out. Like, what does that mean? And I don't think it's just Brandon. It can't just be one side that has made this impossible to figure out. Now, might it be mostly Ayuk's fault? That's a possibility. I don't know. We know as much about Brandon Ayuk's contract negotiations, it feels like, as we know about Trent Williams' holdout. Only it's been played far more out in the public eye, which has just kept everyone off what we're supposed to be talking about, which is football.
Veggie Delight on the YouTube chat. Lynch can address all the contract stuff. Well, that's kind of my point.
I don't know, though.
I don't either.
Like, I don't think Lynch really deals with that stuff.
Really? I think he's aware of everything. But for all we know, Jed York has drawn a line in the sand saying, I'm not paying Ayuk that. Period. End of story. Period. But they can't say that in there about the owner. So they've got to assume that in and of it, you know, they've got to kind of assume that they're the ones who are drawing the line in the sand. Maybe it isn't. Like, who's Kyle? Like, if Kyle Shanahan is frustrated.
I think he is.
Who's he frustrated with?
Everyone. Probably.
Well, then, maybe it's time for Jed York to try to let people know as much as possible what's going on. Even if he says we're prepared to start the season without Brandon.
Well, he's the only guy we haven't heard from. I mean, we never hear from Parag Marte, right. But he's the only guy we haven't heard from. And the last time we heard from him, he was talking about his quarterback resetting the market, it feels like. So
true.
Jed York, look, but what is he going to add to this discussion?
You
how much clarity?
Asking that question.
How much clarity can he really give us?
I think he could give a lot. Now, keep in mind, I'm not talking about details, but he could give us a sense of where we're at with this thing. Are we closer to the end than the beginning? Can you put into terms what it means? If you're closer now than in a month, I mean, basically, just ask him all the questions that every single fan has and every single anxiety they have and ask him to address it.
Well, I'll tell you who would appreciate it. I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch would.
They might.
Finally, they're the ones that don't have to answer unanswerable questions.
Exactly. And I wonder if that's part of it, too, that they realize nothing's changed, and they have to go out there day in and day out, and maybe they want to say, look, Jed's not signing that check. What do you want me to tell you? Or Brandon's not signing that check. What do you want me to tell you? Or, you know, we're still not worried. Anything.
Or we find out that York is pissed off with the way that Ayuk has handled this situation.
Exactly.
If you ask about him, you got to ask about Trent.
Exactly. Or maybe, can you compare what's going on with Brandon to what went on last year with Bosa? Is there a difference in the tenor of the discussions? I don't know. I think it's a fair question to ask whether or not it's time for Jed York to address the media or to at least address these two elephants in the room. Rats on the table. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in Santa Clara. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
Good, guys. Hey, thanks, guys. I feel like the reason why Jed York isn't saying anything yet is I think there is something, you know, rat on the table, if you want to say, about both of them actually being, if not one of them, at least being ready and just finalizing the details, whether that's Trent or Ayuk. We already know the Ayuk contract is pretty much set in stone, but I'm wondering if Trent Williams is going to be getting done before Ayuk at this point. I mean, I'm not going off of what DeSean Jackson is saying or anything like that. I just feel like, you know, he's saying don't worry about it. So it does give me a little bit of optimism, but I'm just trying to figure out, is he waiting until at least one contract is being done and then having an update on the other? But, you know, with the IU contract, with how long it's going on, Steiny, I don't disagree with you. Maybe he's just tired of hearing about the whole Ayuk thing at this point because he's being so stubborn and holding out. At this point, you might as well just trade the guy, even though they don't want to, and I don't want to trade the guy either.
Right.
I mean, he's our best receiver at that point. So, I mean, I just think he's holding out, waiting to see exactly what's going to go on with here and out with, like, you know, between him, Parag, John Lynch, you know, Kyle Shanahan. And I guarantee, you know, Kyle is tired of all of this. He just wants his game players out there, you know.
I think that's right.
That's all I had to say, guys.
No, I appreciate it. And some people on the YouTube chat, you know, if Jed York spoke, you'd be the first to criticize him, Steiny. What else we got here? Why would the owner need to speak over the GM? Well, I'll just give you an example.
Well, Lynch has spoke. He just hasn't said anything.
Right. Here's my example, and I get that they're different people, but it doesn't matter. When you hear Mike Dunleavy talk about the Golden State Warriors, that's one thing. When you hear Joe Lacob talk about the Warriors, that's another. It just is. We all know it. So when I hear John Lynch talk, that's one thing. If I'd hear Jed York talk right now, that would be another. Because it's a different level. It just is. It's coming straight from the one person that we know can make any decision he wants. That's why I think it's fair to ask, if and when would you like to see Jed York at least talk about this? Or you don't need to hear from him. But you know what? Here's the other reason that I'd like to hear from Jed York is because he's not quite as polished as John Lynch. And he may tell you more than he really wants to tell you. But so what? What if he did? What if he says, man, we never anticipated Brandon Ayuk was going to be this much of a problem or this much of a challenge? Okay. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that is that he can't do that every time there's somebody that's in the situation.
Correct.
Okay, let's take Joe Lacob, for example.
All right.
How many times has he spoke this summer?
Well, not as much as he has in the past.
Why is that?
Because
there's uncertainty, I think. I also think it's because he didn't speak after. Now, stories have come out about him, and there's been quotes and references and sources, but he didn't talk after Klay Thompson got traded to the Dallas Mavericks. You'd think that you would hear from an owner after a fabric of your franchise is removed, and he didn't.
Well, I hear what you're saying there, but I think there's a little bit of a difference, and it is.
And Joe Lacob is someone that is not afraid to talk.
Exactly. And that's why, to me, I feel like there was a reason Joe Lacob didn't talk between the time they were eliminated and, what, mid-July. And I think that's because he's very honest. I think it's because the team discouraged him, or the front office and the PR department discouraged him from doing it because he probably was upset and thought the team was going to do better. So I understand Joe Lacob taking a few months off before he talks to the media. I'm just asking 49er fans, is there a time that Jed York should come out and maybe talk more in detail about what's going on with these players? And here's the other thing I would just say. If it's true that a lot of people believe this is their make or break year, that's another reason why I would want him to talk, is because we all know how important this particular year is, because they got to try to win a Super Bowl, and this is severely hampering their ability to do it. I don't know. Maybe people don't want to hear from Jed York, but
no, I think people do want to hear from Jed York. I just don't think I don't think that'd be a smart play by him, honestly. Like from his standpoint, I don't know what I'd be able to add to whatever's going on here.
Yeah, I think if you ask 49er fans what they want the most when talking about Trent Williams or Brandon Ayuk, is can you give us some kind of estimate? How about this? Is there any possibility that one or both those guys is not playing against the Jets? Now, they'd probably say, well, I didn't get a chance. But even from that kind of question and answer, I think we get a sense of, wow, they may play the Jets without Trent Williams. Are you telling me they're going to play against the New York Jets without Trent Williams?
But what I think we'd learn is what we've kind of been picking up this whole summer, which is they don't know. And I know that yesterday we talked about what great leaders are, and Steve Kerr gave his definition of a great leader, which is someone that's aware that they might not have all the answers. But when you're the owner of a team and you reveal, unintentionally perhaps, that you don't have all the answers, well, then more doubt creeps in from your fan base. More doubt creeps in maybe from your players. I'm sure there's a lot of players on this team that don't know what's going on with Brandon Ayuk. And they're the ones that have to go out there and play the Jets, not us. You and I are just going to talk about it. But those guys in the locker room, I'm not sure they even understand where these negotiations are at and if their wide receiver is going to be there. Because Kyle Shanahan can keep someone like Brock Purdy up to date with all the information that he knows, but it also sounds like the goal line's being continuously moved, and we don't know who's moving it. It could be Brandon Ayuk. It could be another team that's calling about Ayuk that wants to trade for him, that's willing to offer this or offer that. It could be the Niners that are waking up and saying, well, damn, Brandon, you're busting our you-know-what here, man. Like, we can't give you this money, or this is what we're offering. You got to figure out whether you want it or not. If the goalpost gets continuously moved as a player, I have no idea what to expect. And if Brock Purdy can't expect Trent Williams or BA to be there week one, well, then I'm not sure what the owner coming out and telling us is going to be really worth. Because I don't think inside the building right now they really know where things are at.
Let me ask you this. Has John Lynch been asked this question? Why is Trent Williams not at training camp?
Has he been asked that?
Yeah, I don't think he has. Like, we
not
don't
Trent.
Well, I'm just saying that everybody's assuming why, because he wants more money, but do we know that for a fact?
There was the Fowler report from the summer that there were whispers that Williams was unhappy with his current deal.
Right.
I think that's the information we have to go off of right now.
And to me, I'd like to hear John Lynch, or I don't need to hear Jed on this one, but can you give us a reason why Trent's not there? And at least he'd have to say, well, we're working through some contract things. Okay, so now we know it is about money. I get it that it's probably 90% about money, but we don't even know that for sure. And maybe we don't deserve to know it, but I don't know. I think sometimes fans do deserve to know more than than the information they're getting because they're important.
What I know is they got six more days until they got to figure out their 53-man, and they got until September 9th to figure out what team they're going to put on the field against the New York Jets. And I just find it very strange that the New York Jets, who are not the most buttoned-up franchise in the world, have had a holdout also this summer and just nipped it in the bud and just said, we're not trading this guy. You know, we traded for Hassan Reddick this offseason. He wants to hold out. He wants a trade. We're not giving it to him. I mean, like, the Niners right now are a bit of a circus. I think they are a circus right now. And I think that's the reason why we want to hear from the owner. It's the same reason why I think Giants fans want to hear from the Johnsons. It's the same reason why Warriors fans want to hear from Lacob at particular points. It's because we've already heard everyone else speak, and they haven't given us anything. And so there's only one person we believe or have the hope that can provide some semblance of clarity to the situation, and it's the only guy that hasn't talked.
This is from the YouTube chat, Sean John Steiny. Last time we had a vocal Jed York, he fudged everything. Oh, he fudged everything up.
Be careful.
The worst possible way, and he had fans and you radio people calling for him to fire himself. You want that again? Listen, I think there's a big difference between a vocal Jed York and a Jed York that addresses some outstanding situations that everybody's concerned with. Nobody wants Jed to do a weekly press conference. But I don't know. I'm just asking 49er fans, are there times, and is this one of them, where you would want to hear from Jed York? Or wouldn't it even be worth it? I think it could be worth it. Because I'm interested to know what his role is in all this. For all we know, it's Jed York who has drawn a line in the sand that's preventing Parag Marate and the 49ers from coming to terms with Ayuk, and maybe it's something that they're willing to do, but Jed York's not.
Well, the thing that he could provide clarity on is that one detail from yesterday's report that there are things that need to be ironed out with ownership's approval. Now, does that mean it's his approval? Does that mean that there's so much money that they have to pay this guy that he's got to run it by everyone else who's involved? Is it the financial, you know, is it Parag Marate? Who is it? When they say ownership approval, is that you, Jed? That's the question to me, if there is one. When there needs to be ownership approval for the final details of this deal that's been dragging on for 6 months too long, is it you? Are you the one that's saying yes or no? And if so, why?
Yeah. Again, is it a big deal? I don't know. At what point does this get serious enough for York to address it? Sammy K says, now Steiny is preaching.
I think it was
Steiny preaching.
You forget. Yeah. You forgot to get rid of the P.
What do you mean?
Well, there was no P.
Steiny's preaching. Oh, it says Steiny is reaching. Steiny is reaching. What am I reaching for? Asking a simple question? If there's ever a time for an owner to address a situation with his team?
I mean, you got six fouls. You might as well use them, you know.
See, what people don't know is that's the kind of thing I do on purpose. Because I can laugh at myself.
No, I know. In fact, I don't know how you do it.
Laugh at myself? It's pretty easy.
No,
it's pretty much of a joke.
Well, that I would agree with. No, not the last part, just laughing at you. But you mispronounce people's names and words sometimes for effect. You do that.
When?
Well, just now.
Yeah, that's different. I usually am respectful of people's names.
No, whenever I ask you about a certain baseball player, you'll just
call him Harry or something?
Yeah, you'll make up a name and you'll be like, oh.
Like Skeensy?
Well, Harriet Ramos was really good, really good last night.
It's a silent H.
I know. I made that mistake. Multiple times, actually.
Oh, Sammy K said, we said you were trolling, Steiny.
I thought he said you were rolling.
I thought he said I was bowling. How do I troll when I'm just asking a question about if an owner ever owes it to his fan base to address a situation
that...
Well,
we got to get you out to the Bahamas where Jed York is or wherever he's at.
It's such... I mean, there are rats on the table, for goodness sakes.
Guinea pigs.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Would Eddie D talk? Would Carmen talk at this point? I think yes. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. If you think it's time or not for Jed York to at least say, hey, everybody, let me give you a little bit of an update at least. I don't know. I think we're all just annoyed with the situation. That segment, ladies and gentlemen, was brought to you by Lucky California.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.